You're listening to Q Talk Radio. My name is Xavier Mejia, and I'm the executive director of Q Talk Radio. Q Talk Radio is a program of the San Gabriel Valley LGBTQ Center. The center's mission is to promote a safe and inclusive San Gabriel Valley for all people of all orientations and gender identities. For more information on the center and Q Talk Radio, please visit sgvlgbtq.org.
Make sure to like this episode and follow us at Q Talk Radio and at sgvlgbtq, and leave us a comment.
Episode 1.
For the past few years, those around me who work in public education have been talking about a pendulum that was getting ready to swing back. I wasn't sure if I understood what they were talking about, but now I do.
When it looked like the UTLA strike was imminent, the first thing I thought was, it's about time. For far too long, we've been doing way too much with skeletal resources, and it was about time that we did something about it. I've been teaching for 16 years, and year after year, there have been cuts made, one cut after another. So each year was always worse than the year before. And by the time we marched, it was long overdue. We had all reached the boiling point. And right now, public education is under attack like never before. So this march wasn't just a march for our profession, but it was for our students and our community and for public education as a whole.
That's the voice of Arturo Avina, a public school teacher with the Los Angeles Unified School District. Avina joined more than 30,000 public school teachers that went on strike from January 14th through January 22nd earlier this year. How did we get here? How do we arrive at the place where we would allow teachers to stand in the rain? How did we stand by and allow this to happen? Well, perhaps looking into the past will help.
The 1970s was an evolving time for the city of Los Angeles. Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West led the Lakers to the finals. The Clean Air Act began to tackle the smog problem. Tom Bradley became the first African-American mayor of Los Angeles. And in education, there was a merger between two rivals, the American Federation of Teachers, Local 1021, and the Association of Classroom Teachers of Los Angeles. These two groups formed United Teachers Los Angeles.
There is no doubt, and there certainly should be none today from anyone, that teachers now more than ever must express the interests of their students because others have failed them. We shall not.
Within months, the newly formed UTLA demanded our first contract with the Los Angeles Unified School District and went on strike for 23 days. This new contract called for decent pay and long overdue benefits. UTLA won our first contract. This contract was subsequently thrown out by the courts after lawsuits were brought against both the union and the school board because of the lack of a statewide collective bargaining law.
We would go to the Board of Education the appropriate day, show that there were a lot of us there asking for salary increase. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And there was no collective bargaining. There was only collective begging.
Refusing to be beaten, our union persevered and led the charge towards a collective bargaining law for public school teachers. In 1975, a young Governor Jerry Brown signed the ROTA Act. This act included provisions to allow strikes over contract issues. It forced parties to bargain in good faith. It required mediation to break any impasse and to carry out necessary fact-finding. As UTLA grew in numbers and political involvement, both locally and statewide, we entered the 80s ready for real change.
As history shows us, teachers went on strike again in 1989 to fight for livable wages and for better working conditions. Fast forward 30 years later, and once again, teachers find themselves in a crucial moment to have to stand up for public education. But what were the reasons for the strike this time around?
When the strike was about to happen, and even during the strike, I had friends and family reach out to me, but they would say things like, "Oh, we hope you get your pay raise." And I had to stop them right there because this strike was so much more than that. And actually, by the time we marched, the salary issue was pretty much settled. And I had to inform them, look, this is what we're marching for. We're asking for a cap on charter schools to stop the draining of funds from public schools. We're asking for nurses. We're asking for librarians. We're asking for counselors. We're asking for lower class sizes. And when I would explain the circumstances, the reaction would be, well, what do you mean you don't have a nurse? What do you mean you don't have a librarian? How is this legal? Why do you have so many students? You can't teach this way. And once they understood, they were behind me 110%. I prepared myself for the strike with a nice red umbrella. We had the unfortunate luck of having to march during a week of rain, but mindset has a lot to do with how we got through this strike. In addition to rain gear, we had potlucks every morning, so we took food, and we also packed our senses of humor. That's the only way you could get through something like that. Just support each other as best as you can, laugh when you can, and just encourage each other and keep your spirits up. So I think we all prepared mentally in that way. And many of us also made posters, or we used the posters provided to us by UTLA. And with all of that, we were ready to march.
With social media playing a crucial role during the UTLA strike, teachers quickly learned that holding a creative sign or poster would be the most effective way to drive attention to their messages. As an artist, Avinia's creativity was sparked on the first day of the strike. This is the story on how Avinia's famous Loteria sign was born.
I started off the strike by attaching some of the UTLA posters to my umbrella, and that was my strike sign for a couple of days. And then during the marches, I noticed a couple of individual Loteria cards floating around depicting the superintendent and Monica Garcia, and I thought, oh, those are pretty hilarious. And then I thought, heck, you could go to town with LAUSD and create a card that's completely strike-related that addresses the issues that we're marching for. And I have to say that I also took a cue from Millennial Loteria. I saw that, I thought it was brilliant, and it makes you really realize that Loteria is open to a lot of satire. So I went home and I started to Google some images to create my LAUSD Loteria sign. I wanted every image to be an exaggeration. I think satire oftentimes makes its point using exaggeration. So, for example, the school picture, I chose to put a dilapidated shack on there to make the point that our schools are falling apart and we are underfunded. And I juxtaposed it with a charter school, and I used the Opera House from Paris to make that contrast even clearer, just as a commentary to say that the money that should be going to public schools is being funneled into charters. One of the traditional Loteria cards is Atlas holding the world, El Mundo, but for the poster, I renamed it El Maestro, just to make reference to the fact that teachers carry an overwhelming amount of weight on their shoulders. Not only are we the classroom teacher, we are also filling in the gaps for all the deficits. We are also the librarian, we are also the psychologist, we are also the counselor. So I wanted to address that. Another Lotería card that I have up there is El Estudiante, and I use the picture of some test results, some exam results, because unfortunately our students have been reduced to test scores. I wanted to make a reference to the overwhelming amount of testing that we do, and it's unfortunate because our students are so much more than that. Most schools only have a nurse one day a week, so what do you do the other 4 days? I suppose you can go on WebMD and ask your question, how do you treat anaphylactic shock or whatever? So the Lotería card for La Nurse became the WebMD logo. Class size was another issue that we were striking for. Class sizes are pretty large, especially at the high school level. It's overwhelming and it's crushing. So the picture that I chose was of a crowd being pushed up against a fence. It's a very strong image. And I decided to place that image at the center of the Lotería card just because, in my opinion, that was one of the more important and central issues of our strike. Once I found the images that I wanted, I printed out the pages and I glued them on this damaged foam board that I got at a discount. I attached a stick to the back of it, and voila, I created my poster. I showed up at the rally thinking that some people would like it. I thought I made something that was kind of cute and funny, but I had no idea that it would receive the reaction that it got. I could not walk 10 feet without being stopped for pictures of the poster. People really reacted positively to it. And then when I made it home that evening, I went on Facebook and on Instagram, and I saw it everywhere, and I kept getting messages asking for t-shirts and posters and merchandise. People wanted a piece of it.
The UTLA strike came to an end on January 22nd, 2019. And as teachers returned to their classrooms, their social media pages helped catalog a depiction of their latest movement. The Lotería sign is one of thousands of signs that help tell that story. But one can easily say that it will go down in history as the most iconic sign of the 2019 UTLA strike. According to culturally responsive brain rules, the brain takes its social needs very seriously and is fierce in protecting an individual's sense of well-being, self-determination, and self-worth, along with its connection to community.
Hello, my name is Jessica Maya, and I am the president of the San Gabriel Valley LGBTQ Center. On behalf of the board, I would like to thank you for listening to Q Talk Radio.